141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Stuart Armstrong finally signs a new 2-year deal at Celtic. So Hoops fans, is this the news you've all been waiting for? Or would you have preferred a longer deal? And speaking of news you've been waiting for, it's not done yet, but another loan for Patrick Roberts appears to be moving ever closer. James Tavernier tells us about the lessons Rangers have learned from last week's defeat as John Daly urges Jamie Walker to go to Ibrox and show everyone why he's a signing target. And Stephen Robinson confirms Louis Moult won't be signing a new contract at Motherwell. Yes, it's another big weekend of Scottish football. The build-up starts right here with me, Gordon Duncan, Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson. Hugh Keevans, I said it is a big weekend for Scottish football, so no more weddings. You're not disappearing anywhere this weekend.
I would
You're going
not
to be here
miss
for it, all.
It. I'll be here 12 o'clock anticipating a good match at Rugby Park and then Rangers Hearts, which I think will be another epic. And on we go.
Because Derek, he disappeared last week and ends up getting stuck in a lift at the wedding. That just shows you that he shouldn't leave us.
But life's got its ups and downs. Yeah. We've always said that, Gordon.
You asked for that.
Absolutely did. Let's hear from you then, all the big talking points ahead of what's bound to be another big weekend of Scottish football. 0141 951 1025 on the phones or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's start with the news of Stuart Armstrong signing that contract, Hugh. I think it's probably had just about developed into a saga. Has it been going on long enough?
Well, it certainly was trying Brendan Rodgers' patience. So he'll be happy it's over. I think that it's good business for everyone concerned. Most of all, Stuart Armstrong. He came to Celtic. It was a slow start. Under Brendan Rodgers, he has blossomed beyond all recognition. He's a Scotland player now. And the next 2 years at Celtic will bring in that part of his career when he really shows maturity. His problem will be getting a regular game, because Olivier Ntcham was, for me, the best player on the park midweek when Celtic beat Astana 5-0. And at the age of 21, having cost Celtic £4.5 million, he's very much the top man.
I mean, it's good news for the club and for the player himself, but really it's only a 1 year contract due. He's still got a year left.
Yeah. It's like a year extension, essentially.
Extension. So
it's a deal at 2019.
The same thing can happen again. Exactly the same thing can happen end of next season, because he's only got a year left. So whether he's been told, look, give us another year and then you can get your move.
I think the next few days, Gordon, will sum up why it's good for all concerned. The Celtic team at Rugby Park tomorrow may not bear any resemblance to the one who won 5-0 in midweek. And the one who plays in Kazakhstan on Tuesday night will probably bear no resemblance to the one who played at McDermott Park. And when all of that's over and Celtic are back from Kazakhstan and are at home to St Johnstone, it'll all change again, because Brendan Rodgers has such depth of choice available to him. And that's why Armstrong will come in, then he'll go out again, then he'll go back in again.
Well, Brendan Rodgers says he's absolutely delighted after Stuart Armstrong signed that 2-year deal at the club. The new contract sees the midfielder stay at Park Head until at least the summer of 2019. And Rodgers says Armstrong can now get back to matters on the pitch.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted. I'm delighted for Stuart. I'm obviously delighted for all the other players here, because he's made great strides in this last season. And and he's a player that I really, really enjoy working with. So to have him here for 2 years is great for us, and like I say, it gives him a little bit of peace of mind now he can really focus on his football. But I think I said before, I think it's never easy, not just for Stuart, for any player. I think the majority of players will work better with that bit of stability. You know, they understand where they're secure and they see themselves, even though in this modern game it can be very difficult. But certainly a key factor with any player, not just Stuart, that if you're unsure of where your future may lie or where it's going to be, then of course it can bring in sort of different emotions. But it's good for him now. He always wanted to sign, I felt, which is a case of getting it over the line and done. So well done to him, his agents and the club for getting it organised and sorted. So now he can really push on and hopefully have another good year.
From a club point of view, being selfish, would you like to have had him sign for longer?
It is what it is. You know, the club and the player and his representatives have found agreement. You know, for me, I just wanted to ensure that the player was happy and that the club was happy. And if they both can find that, then I'm happy. And for me, it's good that he's signed it and he's here. And like I say, we at least got him for another 2 years. Do you think
No wonder it took a long time. You've got a player with a law degree represented by a lawyer. So, of course it took a long
Double
time.
Double trouble.
Yeah, we've got some good tweets coming in about this as well. Albert's been in touch at Clyde SSB. He says, delighted Armstrong is staying. Manager wants him to stay. That's good enough for me. Had the lad wanted to go, then he'd be gone. Now, Brendan Rodgers also thanked supporters today after the 5-0 win against Astana. In one week, the Celtic boss applauded the creativity of the fans and hopes to reward them with a place in the group stages.
The one group that had been forgotten about as well in all of this here, I want to mention, is the supporters. You know, because on the evening, the supporters were absolutely magnificent. You know, sat here about 4 or 5 weeks ago talking about the Green Brigade and obviously they'd been out of the stadium for a little while, but they came back in and they, along with all the other support that was there, created this unbelievable atmosphere that really helped and drove the players and pushed them on. So for them it was a real good feeling, and that spread onto the field. The players were absolutely outstanding in their performance, very focused, and we'll think of Astana again after the Kilmarnock game.
What did you make of the big banner there, the big display of your face on it?
They're very clever, these guys, aren't they? They can very, very clever, so creative, but it's the time that goes into things like that. You know, these guys are Celtic daft, they're Celtic mad, and they show that when they have things like that in the stadium, and the support that they give us is absolutely phenomenal. So like I say, they are, you know, very important. You know, we all stay together. It's very much one club here, and they're a huge part of that, you know. So it was good to see.
Well, they stole Brendan Rodgers' identity for questionable purposes in the match against Linfield, but they borrowed Brendan Rodgers' identity for good reasons midweek, when the Green Brigade concentrate on the football, give Celtic the kind of backing that no other area of the ground can give, then they are invaluable to Brendan Rodgers and to the players. When they misbehave, they're a pain in the neck.
On that short Armstrong issue, Joseph has been in touch on Twitter. He says, next season will be exactly the same. He won't sign a contract extension. I think he could leave in January. Let's get to the phone lines and find out what Celtic fans make of that short Armstrong new contract today. Frank is a Celtic fan in Springburn. Evening, Frank.
How are you doing, guys?
Yeah, good, thanks.
I'd like to talk about Stuart Armstrong in a minute, but another point before that.
Okay.
If you were reading online, I was reading online today. I had actually just wanted to talk about Armstrong, but I've read online today. The most bitter and pathetic supporters have got an online petition and are sending it to UEFA to try and stop us from getting into the Champions League. And they're saying it's bad for Scottish football and about the money we're getting and all this crap. It's just ridiculous.
Well,
Frank, until that gallows, I would take that with a pinch of salt at the moment. Let's talk about Stuart Armstrong for the meantime. Until there's any actual news to report on that, it's been a good week for your team in terms of European football. Talk to us about Stuart Armstrong.
I'm delighted. I'm not delighted about Armstrong. I'm delighted that Paddy's coming back. I think Armstrong's taking the mick. He's basically just signed 1 year deal, which means I think the reason he signed that is so Celtic can get more money. I think the first reason he'll be signing is so he can get more money. And I think he'll either be off at the end of this window or in January.
I think that's harsh. The manager wanted him to stay. The majority of fans wanted Stuart Armstrong to stay. So he's not taking the mick, as you put it. He's committed himself to Celtic for a longer period of time. I don't understand why every individual must be harangued in this manner. He's extended his contract with the club. What on earth is wrong with that?
Frank, just
come back in, yeah?
Just let me apologise as well, in case Frank used any impolite words there. Well, nothing too bad, Frank, but just you got a wee bit passionate. What I wanted to say though on that issue, Hugh, surely showing no commitment would be to sign no new contract.
Exactly.
Can I come back in?
Yeah, and you go, Frank.
Yeah, well, it's about that point I just made there about the supporters. The actual thing is, there's actual journalists spouting that rubbish as well.
Well, I have no idea. Listen.
To be fair to Frank, that is a debate that's been, if you can call it that, that's been going on in the last few days about the impact of Celtic being in Europe on the rest of Scottish football?
So again, examine the other side of the coin. Celtic don't make it to the Champions League. No Scottish club makes it to the Champions League. Our tattered reputation gets worse on a European and global scale because the national team hasn't been to a major final for 20 years. How can that be a good thing? It is terrific for Celtic, obviously, that they make the Champions League. They make a small fortune in the process. It is good for Scotland's battered reputation that we have representation in the biggest club tournament of them all. And every other club in the Premiership gets a bit of handy money, which they can put to good use however they see fit. There is no downside to this. And to manufacture a downside, don't waste your time.
You've seen many of these tricky qualification ties in your time, Hugh Keevans. How did you rate that one the other night? Because we've obviously not spoken to you since Monday. I think the general consensus was it was going to be a really tough tie for Celtic. They've come through it with relative ease. What did you make of it all?
Well, if Carlsberg did Champions League qualifiers, that would have been it. Anything that could go right for Celtic went right. Anything that could go wrong for Celtic refused to go wrong. And their performance in the last hour of the game, first half hour, it was pretty much even, Stephen. Their performance in the last hour was a real awakening for players like Sinclair and for Forrest. And for me, Olivier Ncham was, as I said, the best player on the park. Now, I think Gordon, with a 5-goal lead, I think teams need an incentive. And when Celtic go to Kazakhstan, I think the incentive is to qualify for the group stages of the Champions League without having lost a goal. Celtic have gone 5 ties now, home and away. Linfield, Rosenberg, Astana, and not lost a goal. To qualify for the group stages not having lost a goal and to have scored a minimum of 12 goals would be an extraordinary achievement for a team with one recognised striker and one recognised centre-back.
Derek, Hugh talks about Olivier Cham being the man who caught the eye in the midfield. In the context of Stuart Armstrong then, do you think with this contract distraction, if you can call it that, out of the way, that will allow Stuart Armstrong to get his head in a place that he can challenge the likes of Cham and Rogic and the rest for a place in that starting
11? Well, you would like to think so, because, you know, obviously the last few weeks, the thing, what he's been thinking about, he's been on the phone to his agent every day saying, look, what's happening? And eventually they've had a meeting with Celtic, say, look, we're going to have to decide one way or the other. And he's decided, no, maybe Celtic have suggested it, look, sign a year's extension to your contract and we'll talk about it during the season. And if you still want to go, you know, the start of next season, we'll think of, because Celtic will still get money with that extra year. They'll still get money for Stuart. So, yeah, that's out the road. He can now concentrate on the next 10 months. And that's what he's got to do now, because I'll tell you what, there's no shoe-in for him to get a place in midfield, because with the talent that Celtic have got there, he's going to have to do something exceptional to get in that midfield.
But with the Champions League, Gordon, and I am assuming, like most people, that it will be the Champions League, it's not a dangerous assumption when you're 5 goals up. As I say, I think Celtic will go there, be extremely professional, and will make sure there are no embarrassing situations. But when you have the Champions League and you are defending the domestic treble won last season, then I think there's room for Griffiths and Cham, everybody, Anthony Ralston, Calvin Miller, whoever it is, because Celtic will need the full extent of their squad to handle all of these different requirements.
And if the Stuart Armstrong situation turned into a saga, Hugh, then I suppose Patrick Roberts is on a similar timescale. It now this afternoon looks as if that deal is at least getting closer. So it's not going to happen today or tomorrow, but a season long loan is getting closer. Progress has been made on that. Suggestions potentially next week. Celtic not in the same rush as they were earlier in the week, but progress has been made. It looks as if he will be back at Celtic on a season-long loan. And I think you would be hard put, in fact, I think it would be impossible to find a Celtic fan not pleased with that news.
Well, the Celtic fans have been at fever pitch over the whole Patrick Roberts business. And if he does come back next week, joy will be unconfined. The figures I read in terms of the loan fee, Patrick Roberts' wages, put him at something like £2.75 million for the season, which is more than Brendan Rodgers cost Celtic.
I think Manchester City, the reason it's taken so long, Hugh, is because Man City wanted to have a look at him as well, just to see the progress that he'd made, you know, in the 18 months he was at Celtic. I don't even know if he started the game at the weekend in the friendly game.
In midweek he was on the bench. He didn't come on.
But I think what has happened now that Celtic, you know, are almost certainly in the Champions League, then I think Man City would be delighted, you know, to send him back up the road.
I think,
just for that experience once again, well, getting in the Champions League.
Celtic obviously want him. It looks like he wants to come back to Celtic. So yeah, it's clearly just been a case of convincing Manchester City that it's the right move.
Well, Pep Guardiola doesn't want a player on his hands who says, well, if you don't let me go to Celtic, I'm not going to whichever other club you have in mind for me. So I think Pep Guardiola, however reluctantly, has finally said, well, let him go back to Celtic for another season. And as I say, he will be received rapturously by the Celtic supporters.
Okay, listen up to this. I know a few of you, to say the least, are going to be interested, because all next week on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we've got your chance to win an Old Firm golden ticket courtesy of Ladbrokes. So that's one Celtic winner and one Rangers winner to get a pair of tickets to both home games and both away games between the sides in the league this season. So that's a chance to win your season pass to every Ladbrokes Premiership Old Firm game, and all you need to do is register online at ClydeOne.com. Amber's next with the travel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Gordon Duncan. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here as well. A few people in touch on Twitter, happy with Celtic's business today. Stuart McKenna says Armstrong will go either next year or the year after for big cash, so it's win-win. And Graham Bell says, so glad Armstrong has signed, and potentially Roberts still would like a centre-half. I want to try and turn our attentions, gentlemen, and talk about a big game at Ibrox tomorrow. So Rangers fans, if you've got any thoughts, 01419511025. And we've got some Hearts fans out there as well, why not give us a call? Let's kick off by hearing from James Tavernier, because he believes Rangers' new signings will have learned a valuable lesson from Ryan Jack's red card against Hibs. Jack was sent off, remember, after getting caught up in a first half melee with Anthony Stokes, although it has now been overturned on appeal. And Tavernier, who was also involved in that earlier incident, thinks the clash will ensure that players now go on to keep calm heads against Hearts tomorrow.
I learned it as soon as I came up. You know, everyone wants to beat us, and everyone gives 200% against us, so the boys will learn that very quickly, and you know it'll be another tough test this weekend, and yeah, we've got to keep our heads and be focused, and obviously go there with our plan and execute it. It obviously comes down to experience as well. You know, if it's the first time you've been chucked into it and everyone's flying around and tasty tackles are going in, you know, people can get caught up in the moment, but it's the players that are around you that obviously need to help out, and you know, we're a good group of lads, and obviously we probably maybe did get caught up a few times in the moment of a feisty game, but you know, it's something that we'll learn from, and you know, we need to not let it affect us as we move forward. I know what to expect, and obviously I just sort of knew what to expect at the weekend that just gone. You know, obviously going the last game that we played them at the final, you know, obviously there was a lot of tensions flying high before the game, so you know, you knew that was going to be the case. But it's a case of controlling your emotions and you know, using it the right way. And sometimes you do get caught up in the madness of the moment. But you know, like I said, we've got a good group of lads, and we need to just stay around each other and just control the moments.
No lessons will have been learned. There'll be no cool, calm reaction in the moment. There was a big moment last Saturday and everyone got involved. And if there's a big moment tomorrow, everyone will get involved. Yeah. Because football players are spur-of-the-moment individuals. It's not a bad thing. They're out there with tens of thousands of people screaming and they get caught up. It's inevitable.
You know, the biggest laugh, you people used to say that to me. You know, why on earth, if somebody has a bad tackle on you, do you not count to 10 before you do something? I went, sorry? You're talking about a game, a full house, it's hammering tongs, and somebody does a bad tackle, and you're going to go, 1, 2. Hey, don't be so stupid. You get caught up in that moment, and that's what will happen. And I'll tell you what, I think it will be a physical game tomorrow. I think Hearts are a big, big side. You know, I'm talking about, you know, there were a few six-footers in their team, and they will come to Ibrox thinking they can get something. I know they've had a nightmare maybe the last 6 months or so. They've lost their manager. They get a good result, you have to say, at Kilmarnock last week. But they know exactly where they're coming tomorrow. They're coming to Ibrox against a team that were beaten by their Edinburgh friends just across the road from them. And they'll come there thinking they can take something from Ibrox. And I'm going to say exactly the same as I said last Friday at this moment in time. I think the Hearts are a dangerous side. They will up their game. I don't think there's any doubt whatsoever. And they certainly did it for a little while against Celtic, but class told in the end and they were absolutely battered. Rangers are not as good a side as Celtic, so they'll feel that they can come to Ibrox and get something out of. Rangers are not on their mettle tomorrow, then they will struggle.
Hugh, you know what it's like in this city. You're only ever a couple of games away from a crisis.
Sure.
If you're in Pedro Caixinha's shoes and you've lost to Hibs last season, albeit many Rangers fans will say that was down to the referee or whatever, just how important does this game become?
Oh yeah, very big for him.
I mean, it was going to be big anyway.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
You know, events in the last 7 days just add to that, don't they?
John Daly will be saying to his players, look, if we upset Rangers, we'll upset the Rangers fans and they'll turn on the team. So, you know, if Hearts were to go a goal in front, then obviously it ups the stakes. But it's a big game for Pedro Caixinha. He has to show that he can win big matches. In most of the big matches that he's had since becoming Rangers manager, he's finished up runner-up. So he has to get that win tomorrow, because if Celtic win at Kilmarnock in the 12:30 kickoff, Rangers have a lot of ground to make up.
Well, Josh is a Rangers fan. Derek, will let you back in a sec. He's from Greenock. Josh, what is it you want to say?
I'm just phoning in, first time caller.
Ah, good to have you.
Last week I was at a game and I'm sitting in the enclosure and I can see Penna warming up, and I don't know how long, Caixinha wants to give him a bit of time, but 3.5 million for a guy who doesn't even look coordinated warming up. And on the other hand, Tibbs have signed a guy, Simon Murray. I don't know how much a fee it was. I think it might have been a free. But I don't know. As a Rangers fan, I think most people obviously want to give him a bit of time, but I want to know what's going on. As you've seen, Simon Murray absolutely tore us apart. I thought he was excellent. And it's just frustrating to see a guy come in for 3.5 million who can't adapt quickly. And as I said, doesn't even look coordinated warming up at the side of the pitch.
Josh, it certainly wasn't anywhere near 3.5 million they got him for, but I get your point with him. For some
to Josh, I think that was the figure that was reported in Mexico at the
time. No chance.
But anyway, Derek, whatever way you look at it, he is the biggest money signing of the lot.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, listen, it's not scouts that have got him. It's Pedro himself, because he's watched him in that league. He was a manager in that league and knew the player and felt that he can do a job in Scotland. Now, I can't understand why he's been several weeks here now when Pedro says he's not fit yet. I don't get it. He's certainly not fit playing-wise, because he hasn't played all that many games. You know, 10 minutes here and there is not going to do him any good. He needs to play 90 minutes somewhere. So I don't know how long it's going to take him, you know, to get going. But again, he's another midfielder. You know, where do you play him? You know, the Rangers have now got 6 or 7 real quality, I think, midfielders. So I don't know where he's going to play, Penn, or if he is going to get a game.
No, I agree with that, definitely, because you're sitting there, and Ryan Jack, when I've seen, obviously he's got his red card taken away, but he still put his head towards to Stokes. But obviously it's beyond me how Stokes never got a red card either. But at that point, when Pedro's changed the team and he's put Herrera as well. I mean, when you're playing long balls and he's not, I think he won one header.
Yeah.
And even when the ball's going into Morelos, he's nowhere near close enough.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating as a Rangers fan.
I think you're right when you look at Murray, you know, playing for Hibs there, and the pace of him and the goal that he scored, and you know, he gave the Rangers defence all sorts of problems. You're absolutely right. And that's just a young lad. I think they got him. He never get free from Dundee. His contract was up and Hibs got him for nothing. I believe he's a Hibs fan, you know, and he wanted to go there. So, and the big fella's shown already, that's his club. And he's shown the appetite and he's scoring goals. Herrera, for
definitely,
me, might be a good player. He might come good. But at this moment in time, I haven't seen anything that would suggest that he's going to score goals for Rangers.
No, and I think we really need, as much, I'm delighted with Jack and Dorrance and stuff, and Morelos I think is going to come onto a game, but as the callers have been saying previously, Kenny Miller's, I think for me now, he's a last half an hour player. Him and Cranger can come on and they can do you something different, but I would love to see a Walker or a Moore.
But who do you play up front then? Who do you play? Do you want to see somebody else come in, as I've suggested for the last couple of years? They need a big centre forward that's going to guarantee you 20 goals. I know that's easier said than done, but there must be players out there.
There's got to be, and as frustrating as it was the last few seasons, and Warburton trying to bring in James, and then much James is still leaving Rangers to go to a Forest or going to Wimbledon or
South End, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We need higher quality than that. I would love to just see, even Mo, I just heard that he's not signing a new contract. I'd love to get somebody in like that who's going to score 20 goals a season. Mm-hmm. And if Morelos comes good, it'll be a bonus. But right now, as a Rangers fan, I'd love to see somebody who's going to come in, they're going to play for the jersey every week and score his goals.
Let me ask you this, yeah. Derek, because Josh mentioned that Jamie Walker there.
Yes.
Would you play Jamie Walker tomorrow?
I just don't understand why he hasn't played for the first game. See all this about his head's not in the right place. He's been at Tynecastle for about 8 or 9 years. He's there as a wee boy, you know, and he's well in with the Hearts people. And to suggest that his head's not in it, you think he's going to go out and not bother his shirt when he goes out playing for Hearts? That's nonsense. And I think the young lad's been kicking his heels, desperate to get a game. And he doesn't play him against Celtic. He takes him down to Kilmarnock, puts him on the bench, doesn't bring him on. Do you think he will play him against Rangers? Yeah. I think he may well find himself. I don't get that.
I think there's another issue here, Gordon. John Daly. If John Daly gets a result at Ibrox tomorrow, then all of a sudden Ann Budge and Craig Levein might have a decision on their hands, might have a dilemma on their hands, because there's been so much speculation about Stephen Presley, Paul Hartley, Steve McLaren, does he or does he not want the job, etc, etc. But if John Daly gets a result at Ibrox, he knows that he's doing himself a favour.
I don't think so, Hugh. I still don't think you'll get it. Even if he wins at Ibrox tomorrow, I think they've done enough interviews. They know the man that they want.
Well, we're going to hear from John Daly a bit later on in the show, but what I can do is I can go one better. We're going to speak to her. In fact, I was going to say one of our resident Jambos. I think he might be the resident Jambo that often phones, Kenny in Airdrie. Kenny, how are you feeling ahead of the game tomorrow?
Apprehensive, guys. Nice to meet you, Gordon. Hello, Hugh. Hello, DJ.
Hi, Kenny.
No, I'm having wee flashbacks and thinking, I wonder if there's a thing for a few years ago where Alan Johnson scored a hat-trick and I broke the main time for them.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that day.
Fingers crossed for that, but no.
I wouldn't say that.
I wish they would actually just get somebody in place, but all the murmurings I'm hearing coming out of Tynecastle now is that they're not going to appoint anybody until the window closes, because then they don't have to spend any more money for somebody that comes in.
Well, Hugh, it's an interesting time frame, because our understanding is that, you know, the interviews have been ongoing in the last couple of days. I'm sure there'll be perhaps more to come as well. It was always going to be a difficult time, because not many clubs lose their manager before the league season's even kicked off. So there was never going to be an easy way of doing this, was there?
Yeah,
because you've already got a situation where Ian Cathro's was starting to work with that team ahead of the new season. So if a new guy comes in, he's stuck with some of those players. He might not have time to get his own players in and so on.
But I could understand why Ann Budge would say, well, no, we can't spend any more money, because the stand is now over budget as well as over schedule. So Hearts have to be careful. You know that the supporters, the foundation of Hearts, put in over £1 million per year to the club. So, you know, they're doing all that they can. Ann Budge is putting in her money.
But you know what? See, if they do sell Jamie Walker to Rangers, that might get them the 600-700 grand that they're looking for. They can maybe go out and get somebody else in.
And then you have that dilemma, Derek, whereby you're saying, and I'd ask Kenny for his opinion on this. I mean, Jamie Walker, pound for pound, might be the best player that Hearts have.
Yeah.
So how much of a demoralising blow is it, Kenny, if you lose Jamie Walker to a rival in this window?
I think at the end of the day, Hugh, I mean, I'm quite optimistic about football, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, we lost Sam Nicholson as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mentioned when he went to America, but I think, Jamie, I wish him all the best, like any other player, you know what I mean? Every player should just get the best of what they can with their career, but I'm now, because I'm living in Airdrie, I feel like I'm turning into the West and I'm going to...
Nothing wrong with that, Kenny.
I'm saying to myself, how does Anthony Stokes get away with that grabbing of the throat, and the compliance officer's not even made a sniff yet, and yet last season at the start, the gentleman we've been talking about, there was a whole load of fuss made about Jamie Walker with a dive against Celtic in the first game, but nothing said about a throat grabbing.
Yeah, he got a 2-game ban, Jamie Walker, for the incident with Kieran Tierney, but again, as said on Monday, for Anthony Stokes to stay on the park at Ibrox last Saturday was a miracle, and I still don't understand why he was able to stay on the park. And I agree with Kenny, I don't understand why there wasn't anything done retrospectively.
Kenny, you making it to the game tomorrow, or is it going to be Super Scoreboard on the couch for you?
No, I'm actually hoping to now find your brain. I'm not done the beat the pundit, but I'm doing a wee charity thing tomorrow for a wee group, Hope for Autism in Airdrie.
Oh, well, that's a good enough excuse then, I'll give you that.
Well, just because it's personally my daughter, eh? But any chance of you flinging in a sign ball for the 2 years to put in towards raffles?
Why not?
Absolutely. Yes, we'll do that.
Without doubt, Kenny.
See, never let it be said that Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson aren't an easy audience. But Kenny, you deserve it. Well done. Enjoy your day tomorrow.
Thanks very much, mate.
Good man, Kenny. Take care. Kenny the Jambo in Airdrie. Derek, more news coming out of Rangers today, just as we're talking about that game tomorrow. Not confirmed yet, but looks like Harry Forrester is off to AFC Wimbledon on a season-long loan. That would be one of the least surprising exits of the window, won't it?
Well, he didn't want to go, obviously. That's why he's the last one. It's of the ones that he wanted out the door. He still felt that he could do stuff in training, that the manager would look at him and still get a game. But the manager hasn't given him a sniff on the bench or anywhere else. So it's about time. The season's almost, you know, we're 2 weeks into it. He's not getting a game. He's not even getting a game for the under-20s or anything. So, you know, if you're a football person, you want to play every week. And for him to sit there in the stand, and you'll have to turn up for games, but you've got to sit and watch games. You don't want that as a footballer. Yes, you might be getting a couple of quid, but you want to play. He's only a young man. So it's the best thing for him and for the club if he goes down there, and I think that will happen.
As always, a really busy night on Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to hear from Celtic goalkeeper Craig Gordon. We'll hear from John Daly about going to Ibrox tomorrow. And we'll hear from Stephen Robinson on that Louis Molt situation, all coming up after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnston alongside me, Gordon Duncan, on Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Like I said, just before the travel, plenty more to come tonight. A good full-time teaser for these guys. Beat the Pundit, all the usual features are there. So let's get involved as well on the phones. 01419511025. In the meantime, I want to hear from Celtic goalkeeper Craig Gordon. He's talking about playing in that AstroTurf pitch at Kilmarnock tomorrow, and he says that'll make it into its own type of challenge. The Hoops travel there in the early kickoff, looking to maintain that long unbeaten domestic record, and Gordon says he feels the squad are well equipped.
Yeah, it's a different game away from home, different pitch, which is always different to adjust to, and different style of play required for that. Very quick surface, and you have to be really exact with your passes, otherwise they slide off the surface a lot more. So we'll have to adapt a little bit. We're quite a young squad, which have probably come through playing on similar surfaces that can adapt to that. So we'll do that. We trained on the Astro here today just to get ourselves used to that again. And we've got our next few games are on Astro, so we'll train and play on that for the next week or so. And we'll be fine. We'll go into the game, as I say, on the back of a good run, and whoever the manager selects to play will be going in there looking to get the 3 points. We do have, we've obviously got Hamilton as well, and there's a few in the other leagues in Scotland as well, so it is something that is growing. And yeah, it's I can see the benefits of it, but the hybrid ones are probably the best at the moment, but who knows, one day they might get one that's fully synthetic that's as good, but for me, not quite yet. I'd still prefer to play on grass.
Hugh Keevans, these pitches have been down in Scotland long enough. I'm not sure it's really a big talking point anymore in terms of going there, but I suppose, as Craig Gordon points out, it can benefit Celtic for when they go to Kazakhstan.
Yeah, and three of their next four games, Kilmarnock, Astana and Hamilton Accies away, will be played on artificial surfaces. And that's why I think there'll be individual problems for Brendan Rodgers. I'm not sure Jozo Simonovic is your man for synthetic pitches, so something might have to be done in central defence at a time when he's the only recognised central defender. But that's Brendan Rodgers' department, and he'll take care of that. But I think the team tomorrow, Gordon, may be more like the team who beat Kilmarnock 5-0 in the Betfred Cup than it will be the team who will play in Astana on Tuesday.
It's an interesting one, Derek, because there's not the same pressure to change things, you wouldn't imagine, given how comfortable Celtic are in Europe at the moment in terms of that scoreline. But would you still expect plenty of changes?
Yeah, I will. I do expect it, because Celtic have got the best squad in the league without a shadow of a doubt. Hugh's right. It doesn't matter which 11 go out there. They'll be good enough to beat any of the opposition in Scotland. I think, yes, the pitch sometimes, you know, can be of advantage to the home team. But I remember, was it last season when Rogic hit a 30-yarder, took the winner about two minutes to go down at Kilmarnock. What a goal it was. And it might be difficult. I mean, if the rain keeps going on the way it is and making it wet, it could make it a good leveller for both sides. But that won't face Celtic. Whatever team they put out tomorrow, you would expect them to beat Kilmarnock.
The worry for Lee McCulloch is they've started poorly in the league. Celtic have knocked them out of the Betfred Cup with a side featuring five players under the age of 20. So it's a hard day for him tomorrow and his Kilmarnock players. But I think Celtic will bear in mind that they have thousands of miles to travel on Sunday to go to Kazakhstan. And I think the team tomorrow will reflect that. The team tomorrow will bear no resemblance to the one on Tuesday night.
I think the worry for Brendan Rodgers, Hugh, is sometimes you can get an injury on that park rather than grass. You know, there's certain things that you do, the way you turn, you can go over on your ankle easily on these surfaces. That'll be the biggest worry for him, that one or two of these players does that. That's why I think of Celtic, if I've got a couple of goal lead, three goal lead, I think you'll see the subs coming on right away.
If there was ever another game to use Christopher Eyer, Hugh, it might well be a ground where he played league football last season against a team that he knows well.
Exactly, fair point. As I say, Jozo Simonovic is not a man for that kind of surface. You'd imagine that Lee Griffiths, if it's at all possible, will sit this one out because, again, on Wednesday night, he proved how invaluable he is. For me, he's the Celtic number one striker. When Dembele comes back, I think Dembele has to displace Lee Griffiths, not the other way around. Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to the phone line. Scott is in Govan. Scott, what's on your mind tonight?
Hi, lads. Hi, Gordon.
How are you?
No bad. DJ, hello.
Hi, Scott.
Hi, Scott.
DJ, I was just listening to you and what you said there about Harry Forrester going to Wimbledon, is it?
It looks like he's on his way to Wimbledon,
On the loan, I disagree with you, Troy DJ, about the fact that didn't want to be here. I think they did want to be here sitting in there because what they were actually saying is, well, hold on, we've got lengthy contracts here because these three signed up on a 4-year contract.
Yeah.
So I think they were quite happy to sit there and get dished out because they were in good money. Mm-hmm. And I think they were, I know they're not getting fitter, but some days the wage is better than the fitter.
Sure. So, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, and they could do that. And I think, but if you're a footballer at all, you cannot. And I don't think he's played any games that matter so far this season. He's never even been on the bench. So you know you're not wanted. And I know some players have done that in the past. They've got a couple of years left on their contract. Well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here and getting the big money. But you only go so far with that, and then you want to play. This is an opportunity. He's not been sold down south. They've said, look, go away, whether it's a season-long loan or just one to Christmas. You know, go away and get a few games, and then we'll have a look at you again.
Listen, I just think, I mean, Andy Hardy's obviously over there in a year loan, and he's going to come back here, and he's not going to get a game under, because, you know, so why go there for a loan? And I think it's just because they're coming back to the Rangers, and they can sit there with money.
Well, Derek, it's probably more along the lines of if you can't get someone to buy them, then you have to loan them out.
Yeah, you know, if someone came in with the money they were wanting for Harry Forrester, he'd be gone weeks ago. You know, but nobody's come in from yet, and that's the problem. Or if somebody has made an inquiry, he doesn't fancy going to whatever club it was. And nobody can force a player to go there. He's under contract. If he says no, it's no. The club can do what they like with that. But I think they'll be delighted, rather than somebody that trains every day and sits in a stand on a Saturday, to get him out the door and get him playing. It's the best thing for the player himself and for the club.
And Hugh, I think we accept that it certainly looks unlikely, but maybe, just maybe, one of these guys goes away, enjoys the football, gets a new lease of life, comes back and things look different in the summer. Stranger things have happened. Like I say, unlikely, but it's a possibility.
Well, for me, they're cast aside by Pedro Caixinha. He makes it perfectly clear who is in his thoughts and who is not in his thoughts. And I don't think there's a place for Andy Halliday, no matter how things work out for him abroad.
See, there's no pressure on him, Gordon. You know, any of them go to these so-called smaller clubs in England or going away to the Middle East, there's not the pressure on him as there is in Glasgow with Rangers. So if they cannot go out and play without pressure, then they're not worth their salt anyway.
Kilmarnock have just announced a couple of signings. They've signed striker Eamon Brophy from Hamilton Accies, and they've signed Brad Spencer, the son of John Spencer. So they're both in contention for that game against Celtic tomorrow. We'll watch with interest to see if any of them feature. What about on the phone lines? David is in Hamilton, but he's a Hibs fan. David, how are you?
Good evening, panel. How are we doing?
Yes, all good, thanks.
It was just, obviously, there's been a lot of talk about the card and how we won the game and stuff like that, but it's just to basically talk about the feel-good factor, to be a Iberia now. I mean, like, if you go for when we've won the cup to now, it's just, when I was a wee boy going to Hibs with my granddad, you used to leave the stadium 9 times out of 10 green, because you could see. whereas now, it's a buzz, and and everybody's on board with it. It's just that winning mentality that we've got to now, and it's like, there's no hype sitting going, oh, we're going to finish bottom six, we're all thinking, maybe going to be challenging up there for second.
Simply because, David, you've got a good side, you know, and I've said that all along. I think the first thing I said on this programme at the start of the season was, when you look at that Hibs bench, it's a very, very strong bench. It's not as if there's five youngsters on it. It's five players that can come on and change a game. And that's the sort of squad that they've got. And when you add pace to that, and, you know, the ability to, the defence that they've got, and the midfield that can create and defend as well, then you've got the makings of a really good side. And up to now, it's going well for Hibs. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Hugh, because we know where we are. We're in Glasgow, and naturally, this week has been dominated by talk of referees and of Neil Lennon and of petitions and of statements and so on and so forth. But if you're a Hibs fan, you're absolutely flying at the moment.
I know the guys at work didn't like that at all. I made apologies and everything with the gesture.
I was going to say, you're a Hibs fan in Hamilton. I forgot that. I bet you've had some fun this week, David.
there's been a lot of talk about the card and stuff like that. But Hibs, even say I've been watching them this season, they've, at the start of the game, they have been a bit shaky, and it just, once they've picked up and found the game, they've just absolutely ripped through teams. Normally from the middle of the park, just John McGinn pinging a ball at the left or right wing and the squirrel jumping on it, and just they've been absolutely brilliant.
But David, the thing is, you're from Hamilton, so you don't need me to remind you what happened the last time the Accies went to Easter Road, do you?
No, definitely not. I don't take anything for granted. I think Hamilton, they'll set up defensively, and they'll try and go for the challenge, because I think now with teams watching us against Rangers and that, they're going to play us differently now. They're not going to be
as cavalier.
They are on the break.
Last Saturday, we had a high octane football match, and it was full of awkward incidents, and it was a real hard one for the referee, and for the most part, he got it wrong. But it should not be allowed to overshadow the fact that Hibs went there, played well and won well. And high octane, occasionally toxic matches are a feature of Scottish football. It will happen, whether it's at Ibrox, Celtic Park, Easter Road, Tynecastle or anywhere else. But Hibs played well, and David talks about the feel-good factor. It starts at the very top with the club now properly run. Leanne Dempster does a terrific job at Easter Road. The crowds are sensational. The last home match was watched by nearly 18,000 people. It should be that again tomorrow on the back of the win over Rangers. They have fine players throughout the team. They have good backup. They're undefeated. And David's right. This is the best time in many, many years to be a Hibs supporter.
Beat the pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Now we're going to hear from John Daly on the potential for Jamie Walker playing at Ibrox tomorrow, given he's a Rangers signing target. That's all coming up after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football to have a cracking season. Please gamble responsibly.
Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to hear from John Daly very soon on going to Ibrox tomorrow and the prospect of Jamie Walker being in the team. But in the meantime, let's do this.
Beat the pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson both standing by for Beat the Pundit. One of them is going to be up against Tariq from Maryhill. Evening, Tariq, how are you?
Even panel, how are you doing, panel? Everybody okay?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah. You're a Rangers fan, Tariq. What are your thoughts ahead of the game tomorrow?
Well, I'm absolutely in a fantastic place at the moment. I think Rangers are in the right direction. I mean, it's been a great turnaround for what happened last year. I mean, this year I definitely think, I'm not saying we'll win the league, but we'll definitely give Celtic a run for our money, you know.
Does that mean you're putting last week's defeat down to refereeing decisions and not much else?
Well, refereeing decisions, and obviously, you know what I mean, it was a bit charged, the game as well, because obviously the cup final was the last meeting of the two teams, and Hibs won that, you know what I mean, so it was a bit charged. I mean, it's good actually. I'm glad that actually we got defeated, because it'll be a lesson for the players. Hopefully they'll take on board how important it is to a club like Rangers that we win near enough every game we play. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're never going to win every game, but
you're a super optimist, Tariq, I have to say.
Yeah, I don't hear many fans happy they got defeated. Now, what about Beat the Pundit? Are you confident of avoiding defeat on that? Who would you rather play?
Well, it's definitely Derek. I mean, I don't want to say, you know, Hammer. Let's say it's Hugh Keevans. I mean, that would be embarrassing.
Well, it's all down to the fate of the coin, Tariq. Head says Hugh Keevans, tail says Derek Johnston. And there we are. It is heads. As you can see, Hugh Keevans, independent adjudicator. Okay. Johnson, you happy with that?
I'm happy with
that. Okay, let's make Hugh Keevans listen to something else for a while. Is he giving me the thumbs up? Yeah, he's walked away in a huff, it looks like. Oh, so that obviously means he can't hear me. That's good. That's what I'm looking for.
He's probably sweating.
Aye, he'll be nervous, son. I don't doubt it for a second. Right, you know the way it works. 30 seconds on the clock. Just answer as many as you can. You can pass, so just try and get through them. Okie doke.
No bother at all.
Good luck to you. Your time starts now. Stuart Armstrong signed a new deal with Celtic that keeps him at the club until when? What year?
2019.
Yep. Marcus Fraser and Christopher Routis play for which Scottish Premiership team?
Dundee United.
Former Inverness Cali Thistle defender Josh Meekings has signed for which club?
Kilmarnock.
Which female golf tournament begins today at Des Moines Golf and Country Club?
The ladies open.
Which West Brom player are Man City said to be interested in buying?
West Brom player Macaulay.
Okay, let's try and bring Hugh Keevans back. Hugh, are you with us?
I am.
Good. Okay, good to have you. You know the drill by now, don't you?
Absolutely.
30 seconds. Time starts now. Stuart Armstrong signed a new deal with Celtic that keeps him at the club until what year?
2019.
Marcus Fraser and Christopher Routis play for which Premiership team?
Ross County.
Former Inverness Cali Thistle defender Josh Meekings has signed for which club?
Dundee.
Which female golf tournament begins today at Des Moines Golf and Country Club?
Solheim Cup.
Which West Brom player are Man City said to be interested in buying? And what manager has factored poor refereeing decisions into training sessions?
Pedro Caixinha.
Barcelona have signed which ex-Tottenham midfielder?
Pass.
Tariq, after listening to that, how are you feeling?
Oh, I think, you know, I'm a wee bit sweating now. I mean, he's getting me a wee lesson in answering these sports
Derek,
questions.
Derek,
you know
Derek
I mean?
With the ink. The old fella was in fire there, wasn't he?
Look at the smoke. Honestly,
extinguisher, please. Smoking.
That's what a week.
Smoking. You need smoking.
That's what a week away does, Hugh Keevans. You've recharged the batteries. You're back with a bang. Don't think there's much suspense to be had here, but let's go through them anyway. Stuart Armstrong signed a new deal with Celtic. Keeps him at the club until what year? 2019. To be fair, Tariq, you were off to a winning start. You got that one right.
Once.
But so did Hugh Keevans. And then it was all downhill from there. Marcus Fraser and Christopher Routis play for Ross County. Hugh got that. Former Inverness Cali Thistle defender Josh Meekings has signed for Dundee. Hugh also got that. It's the Solheim Cup, which is played at Des Moines. Hugh also got that. You were on absolute fire. I've never seen you in such a run. Which West Brom player are Man City said to be interested in buying? Johnny Evans. Pedro Caixinha is the man who's factored poor refereeing decisions into training sessions. And Hugh, you were the only one who got into this. Hugh, Derek, Barcelona, which ex Tottenham midfielder?
Pellegrino or something.
It's Paulinho.
Paulinho, I knew it was something.
There we are. So let's top them up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's a 6 for Hugh Keevans. And Tariq, I'm afraid to say, only a 1 for you. But listen, you said you were happy your team got beat last week so they could take lessons from it. Maybe the same applies to you.
Yes, but can I just say to you quickly before I go that
yes.
I'd like to a quick mention to the Cobble Shop in Stewarton, Express Taxis in Falkirk, and also Frank the Carpet Man in Bowness.
I thought I would let him away with it since he got a 6-1 hammer, and I was feeling a wee bit sorry for him. I didn't realise this was going to turn into the GBX all of a sudden. The GDX,
taxi,
you could say.
Other taxi firms are available.
Yes, exactly, right. Tariq's obviously having a good night, but Hugh, that was good. That was impressive from you. I enjoyed that. Right, let's hear from John Daly, shall we? Because we know it's going to be a big game at Ibrox between the sides tomorrow. John Daly's backing Jamie Walker to go out there at Ibrox and show exactly why Rangers are trying to sign him. The Hearts winger's back in the squad after missing some of the early season action, and obviously not. The suggestion was, Hugh Keevans, that he's not in the right frame of mind after being the subject of bids from Rangers. So here's what John Daly had to say about the prospect of Jamie Walker playing tomorrow.
I really enjoyed my time there. It's a fantastic football club. It's changed a lot. It's changed a lot since I left. I think I had a look at the squad the other day, and there was only, I think, Big Lee Wallace and Kenny Miller in the starting lineup from when I was there. So, you know, they've recruited really well. They brought some good players in, and as I said, it's I'm expecting it to be noisy and expecting it to be loud. So we need to manage that, and we need to be able to deal with that. But no, it's as I said, it's a fantastic club, and I enjoyed my couple of years that I had there, and looking forward to going back, obviously in a different capacity.
Is Jamie Walker ready to start if called upon on Saturday?
I'd like to hope so. Yeah, he's trained, as I said, from the first time I spoke to yourselves. He's trained really, really well, and he's trained really hard, and he's definitely in with a chance of being involved. He's got past the initial frame of mind that he was in, and he seems to be in a good place right now, which for us is great, because, you know, we want players of his quality and his calibre on the park, and hopefully he can, you know, if he's called upon or if he starts or if he comes off the bench, that he can go out and show exactly why a club like Rangers are looking to pay for him.
John Daly at the start there, Hugh Keevans. I think it's safe to say one Edinburgh manager going to Ibrox last week, another Edinburgh manager going this week. He's in for a bit more of a calm reception, is he not?
Well, former Rangers player John Daly enjoyed his time there, he says. I'm interested he mentioned the noise factor. I read a terrific quote from the Hibs players after the game last weekend, who said it went beyond noise. It was so loud they actually described it as beyond noise. So it'll be the same tomorrow. In fact, it'll be cranked up, because Rangers lost last weekend and they can't afford to lose this weekend as well. So John Daly and all of the Hearts players will be walking into a cauldron tomorrow. And again, I'm not sure whether Jamie Walker, you know, if the guy simply has what you, Gordon, or Derek or I have periodically, a bad day at work. If he's a bad day at
questions
work,
would be asked.
Everyone will say, he didn't try a leg because he wants to go to Rangers. So
that's the difficulty the manager's
got. On the flip side of that, though, surely if you want to force Rangers into paying the money for you, then there's only one way to do it, and it's to go out and show them what you're capable of.
Well, listen, if the player wants to go to Rangers, and clearly that is the case, I mean, that's why he's not been in the right frame of mind, as the manager said, then, you know, what is he going to do tomorrow? I don't think he'll start the game tomorrow. I think, if anything, he'll be on the bench, and they may well bring him on if need be. But you're right, Hugh. You know, if they're drawn or whatever, and he's got a chance in the last 5 minutes and misses it, questions will be asked. That's why clubs don't allow their players, when they're on loan to another club, not to play against them.
I think because
they get that.
Is it not going to be the opposite, though? Is there not that incentive there for him to really show what he can do?
Listen, there are
surely
two sides.
That's the way it works.
There are two sides to every story, and you're absolutely right. That could be the great incentive. But we live in a suspicious country, and if the poor man simply has an off day, it'll be.
But he might not end up signing for Rangers. So what use would that conspiracy theory do?
No, but at this particular juncture, all the talk is of Rangers wanting Jamie Walker. On one hand, you could say, as John Daly has said, go on, show them you're worth the money. And on the other hand, we live in a suspicious country where if he doesn't have a good day, people will say, didn't try a leg.
But if he doesn't have a good day, won't people be saying, oh well, he's not up to much, and Rangers shouldn't sign him?
That doesn't suit my argument.
No, but Rangers are interesting for what he's been doing the last couple of years at Hearts, not just what they've done on if he plays at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I know these processes do, you know, they span longer than one game. However, you can cast your mind back. There have been these instances, haven't there? I think one of the callers mentioned it earlier. Sometimes there are games against teams which just stick out, that seem to have just tipped it over the edge. The one that Michael Halloran, for instance, it seems to me that that performance he put in against Rangers for St Johnstone was one of the big reasons that Rangers went out and got him. I'm sure there was more to it than that.
Of course there's more.
But you're trying to say it didn't help, but didn't add to it in the slightest.
No, he was doing that most weeks. That's just how St Johnstone played.
Okay.
And against Rangers when he did it as well, you're right, that put the tin lid on it. But he'd been doing that the whole season, or for two seasons for St Johnstone.
Think back to Monday night's programme. Angry Rangers supporter talking about Neil Lennon, saying he won't celebrate if Celtic, if he scores against Celtic, he won't celebrate. That's the way people think in this country. So if Jamie Walker doesn't play like a combination of Neymar, Ronaldo and Lionel Messi tomorrow, you'll be accused of not trying a leg.
Derek, what about the Rangers team for tomorrow? Because the comments from Pedro Caixinha yesterday certainly looks as if Ryan Jack will play. Given that the red card's been overturned, Pedro Caixinha said that he was prepared to play Jordan Rossiter in the event that Jack wasn't available. That suggests that now that Jack is available, Rossiter has to sit it out again and Jack comes in.
But they've got Cranchar there as well. I know Cranchar doesn't have the legs, I don't think, for the Premiership. I think if he starts a game, you get an hour of him, you're doing well. Then after that, you know, he tires. I mean, he's in his 30s now. That's just the way he's played football all his life. Lovely with the ball at his feet, but he can't get back. He can't challenge it. That's not his game. His game is give me the ball and I'll play. So I think the manager's got to get the right balance in midfield. I still don't think they've got the balance up front, because they're not scoring the goals that they should. Kenny Miller, as I keep saying, seems to be the best striker they have at this moment in time. And he's back in his own half so many times it's not true, which is unfair to his partner up front who's on his own. So I think something may well have been done this week to get Kenny playing certainly a lot further forward with two up rather than the Morales on his own or whatever.
I know Morelos did most of his good work inside the opening 2 minutes at Ibrox last week, but you would imagine that getting the goal, Derek, which, you know, will that be enough to get him in from the start again tomorrow?
I don't think it will. I think two goals in his previous game and when there, that was three goals in two games. And he's shown that he can score goals, but you've got to do that regularly. You know, you got that couple, two or three games in there where he never scored and people are starting to worry about him. But then he started to score goals, but you've got to keep doing that. Your performances have got to be good as well. You're right. You know, he got the goal and didn't do an awful lot more in the game. But again, he wasn't helped because Kenny Miller is not close enough to him. They're not working as a partnership. And I don't think the ball's coming in from the wide positions or from midfield gave him any chances. I mean, he never missed all that many chances. He hardly had any chances in the game. And people have got to provide that for him, and he's not getting that just now.
Hugh, we react very quickly to certain results here, don't we? Because we know that the Rangers fans were absolutely delighted with the win against Dunfermline. Then some of them were on here furious about the result against Hibs, and it's a real roller coaster. Yeah. We forget about Hearts' own roller coaster journey, because this was, we were led to believe this was a club in turmoil, and they went to Celtic and they put in a good performance, then they lost again with all the managerial stuff, even the stand if you want to go into that side of it. All of a sudden a win against Kilmarnock last week, and it wasn't a classic, but they got 3 points and all of a sudden everyone feels a bit better about themselves.
Yeah, and then if they lose tomorrow, people will turn it the other way around and say, oh, they've only won one of their first three games, they won't be back at Tynecastle until late September. And there's no decision yet on a full-time manager of the club. So that's the way it is. There's overreaction to everything in this country, and we just have to get on with it, live with it. That's the way we are.
Derek, one of the other decisions that was overturned yesterday was the red card to Goncalves. So
yes,
I suppose
rightly so.
On two aspects to that, Hearts will obviously be delighted. And you would imagine, given the way he started the season, that's going to be another interesting test for the new Rangers central defensive pairing.
Yeah, you're right, because he is quick. I think when he came on against Celtic at Celtic Park and scored the goal, you know, he was full of running, and that's the type of player he is. And we know that they're not the quickest, the two Rangers centre-backs, but, you know, they read the game well. They're certainly going to have to do that tomorrow. I think they were right, you know, to take away his red card from him, because I can't understand why he's dragged to the ground. He's had his long hair pulled. Oh, I wish for long hair again. And he's done absolutely nothing wrong and gets a red card.
He's still
card
doing not too bad in that
scandalous
department.
Scandalous. So he's quite right to get away with it.
Hair's not doing not too bad.
No, I need the long hair.
No,
it's all in the back. If I can comb it forward over the top, it would be nice.
You, what about that yesterday? It was quite a day, wasn't it, at the Scottish FA's appeals panel?
Well, I think we got it right in the end. You know, Charles Dunn should never have been sent off at Perth. Ryan Jack, I'm not entirely sure. I wouldn't go to the barricades one way or the other, but they have in their wisdom decided the card should be rescinded. Goncalves, I agree with Derek, it's right that he should play tomorrow, and that will add to the fun at Ibrox tomorrow. Goncalves, you know, he's hit or miss for me, but there's a talent in there somewhere.
Yeah.
If Jamie Walker plays, John Daly will send out Hearts well organised, I'm certain of that. And as I say, it's a big game for both clubs. If Hearts lose, then the win at Kilmarnock last weekend will be forgotten about, and people will say, oh, they've lost two of their first three. If Rangers lose, people will see back-to-back defeats and there'll be mayhem. So it's all the fun of the fair at Ibrox tomorrow. It's a sellout. The crowds are phenomenal. And you can make sure of one thing. The day will not pass without incident.
Something you touched on earlier was the John Daly factor. So as far as you're concerned, Derek, that there is no audition aspect to this tomorrow. He's out of the running, well, regardless of what happens.
Well, I don't know. I'm only giving what I think. You know, I think he's a young man. He's never been a manager before. He's been thrown in there. You know, and if he gets a good result against Rangers, fine. But they've got to look, you know, short to medium term for a manager there. And I don't think John is the right man. I would like to see him stay there. If he doesn't get the job, stay there. And if somebody else comes in, to be there in some capacity. But I don't think that he's going to get the job. They've interviewed half a dozen people, good name people. So I would expect within the next week or so, the Hearts come out and name their manager.
Hugh, we're talking generally, but if you're John Daly, you'll still see it that way, won't you?
Still see what
you'll still see it as a chance to show what you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Until such times as there's a man standing in the centre circle at Tynecastle with a Hearts scarf above his head, then John Daly is in charge. And if he gets a big result, in other words, a win at Ibrox, then it enhances his claim. I have to assume that John Daly, if offered the job, would take it.
Yeah.
So if he gets a win at Ibrox, then the CV looks brighter.
Still jam-packed on the show tonight. We're going to hear from David from Ladbrokes giving us all the betting odds ahead of a big weekend. We'll have Stephen Robinson talking all things Louis Malt, and as usual, a good full-time teaser for these guys as well.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
This is Friday night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's that time of the night where we speak to David from Ladbrokes. Let's get up to speed on all the odds across the weekend. David, thanks for joining us. Let's start with the early game, obviously, down at Kilmarnock. Celtic, the visitors. We already saw what happened when these sides met in the League Cup just the other week. Are tomorrow's odds reflecting that?
Absolutely, Gordon. I think you've got to go back to 2012 for the last time Kilmarnock actually got a result against Celtic, and the odds definitely reflect that today. 18-1 for Kilmarnock to get results. 6-1 the draw. Celtic are 2-11 for having a bet today. Possibly looking at first goal scorer Stuart Armstrong after signing his contract with Celtic today. Could be a good bet at 7-1.
Plenty of big games at 3 o'clock. Ibrox Hearts are the visitors after what happened last weekend. Rangers, you would imagine, very keen to bounce back. What are the odds looking like for that one?
Rangers again, favourite 4-6, same price as what they were against Hibs last weekend. Hearts are 4-1 to get a result, 29-10 for the draw. Both teams have played 1-1 and lost 1, so they will be looking to try and get 3 points tomorrow from this game. Historically, they tend to be high scoring games as well, so it could be both teams to score, but what way it's going to go, it's anybody's.
Well, obviously Hibs upset the odds at Ibrox last week. This time they're back at home. Hamilton Accies are the visitors. Given the start to the season, are Neil Lennon's men very much favourites for that one?
Absolutely, Gordon. 8-15 for a Hibs one, 3-1 a draw, and Hamilton at 11-2. Hamilton don't have a great away record, having lost 10 of their last 12 Premiership matches. And after Hearts' massive win against Rangers last week, you can only see it going one way.
Aberdeen at home again. Pittodrie, we know they had very good home form last season. Dundee, the visitors, is what kind of chance has Neil McCann's men got of causing an upset there?
Odds are reflecting it's not going to be an upset tomorrow, Gordon. 8-1 for a Dundee win, 19-5 the draw, and 4-11 for an Aberdeen home win. If Dundee think that's good value, then possibly think again, because Aberdeen have scored a massive 18 goals against Dundee in the previous 6 encounters, with the Dens men only securing just 1 goal. It's a massive ask for Neil McCann to get his first 3 points tomorrow, but stranger things have happened in the past before, Gordon.
A couple of personnel issues for Motherwell, a couple of suspensions, a few injuries as well. What about their visit of Ross County?
There's definitely always games in these games, that's for sure. 13-8 for Motherwell, 12-5 the draw. Ross County, 31-20. It's a big ask for Ross County to come all the way down the A9 and get something from Motherwell. They will be wanting to score some points. Like you said, it was a tough game last weekend. It could go anyway, Gordon.
And the final 3 o'clock kickoff in the Ladbrokes Premiership, St Johnstone against Partick Thistle. We saw what happened when the Jags went up there in the League Cup. What about a repeat tomorrow?
Yeah, 21-20 for a St Johnstone win, 11-5 the draw. Partick Thistle 27-10. A league leader, St Johnstone, don't have a great record against Partick Thistle. But with the previous six games and Tommy Wright, he's now secured the services of Michael Hallam back at the club again. I think they might just actually sneak a win and maintain themselves at the top of the Ladbrokes Premiership.
There we are. That's how the odds are looking for a big weekend of football. Thanks as always to David for joining us. Speak to you again next week.
Thanks, Gordon.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Top tips with Ladbrokes. Bet and play. Get in the game. Please gamble responsibly.
I mean, St Johnstone on top of the league, they can only throw it away now.
There, as David says, it's a big weekend of Scottish football. We'll be here from midday tomorrow, bringing you every kick of the ball. Myself, Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson, Murdo McLeod in the studio, and the top team all around the country. So do join us, why don't you? Let's get back to the phone lines in the meantime. Johnny is a Celtic fan. He's in Cheshire, though, quite some distance away. Johnny, what's on your mind tonight?
Evening, gents.
Hello.
Hi, Johnny.
Real pleasure to be on the show to speak to the polemicist, which is Hugh Keevans.
Pleasure to have you, Johnny.
No, I'm from Bears. I'm from Bears Den.
Is it Bears Den now, is it? Is that what you're calling it now?
That's where I live. It's kind of...
Where are you from, though?
I'm from Partick. You're always... Wherever you were born, that's where you are for life in the west of Scotland. I'm from Partick.
Sorry, carry on, Johnny.
No, he's just proving my point, being the polemicist that he is. Anyway, the point I was going to make, gents, was one of the consequences of the relevant success Celtic have had so far this season has been the Celtic share price, which, if you look at it today... is actually rallying around 80% higher than it was, say, in the last 7 to 8 weeks. And I think that's just another example of the success the club is having, not only on the field, but off the field as well. And that can only be good for our club moving forward. Indeed, for the rest of Scottish football to know that we've an institution that is moving forward and is carrying, hopefully, the hopes of other teams in the country as we enter into the Champions League and move forward. So just the gents' thoughts, really, on the success of Celtic, both on the field and off the field, if I can.
Well, one would tend to come with the other. If you're Champions League, second season in a row, treble winners, invincibles, Brendan Rodgers as your manager, then everything in the garden is rosy, and that would be reflected in the share price. I think, Johnny, that supporters are happy with that, but the balance sheet is not a trophy, and they want to see top quality. You know, Celtic have pushed the boat out, paid $4.5 million for Olivier and Cham, and look at him. At 21, he looks outstanding. I think that fires up supporters with respect more than a balance sheet.
I would agree with you, Hugh. It's just that... A comment really just to say that things are rosy in the garden, and that if we use that analogy, that the foundations are in place for the club to continue to move on for further success. And I think you would agree, as long as Brendan's here, that will be something that will carry on. So, gents, there's other people wanting to come on. I just want to wish you a fantastic season.
Thanks
for all you're doing, and I look forward to continuing to listen far away here in Cheshire.
Johnny, that was very polite. You can come on anytime you want.
I'll do my very best. Thank you very much.
You take care. Have a good night,
Johnny.
Down in Cheshire.
Good evening.
Even telling us that he's happy to go and let other people... Look at that, that's just great, man.
Don't get many like that.
Anyway, I want to get to this full-time teaser because I know you two need as long
we've
as possible.
We've got 25 minutes now.
That's fine, because you're only looking for six answers tonight.
Oh. See, just the six.
Just the six. What did they give you on Monday? 22?
Yes.
So we're down to six. So panic over. Ready? This one's been sent in by Gerard Milligan. And by the way, remember, if you want to send in your teaser, it's full-time at Clyde1.com, and you can try and fox the pundits with the full-time teaser. But this one's been sent in by Gerard Milligan, and it goes like this. Who are the top six highest-capped Scottish internationals? So it's of 40 caps or more, but they've never played for a senior Scottish club. Uh-huh. That makes sense?
Yes.
So they have to have more than 40 caps, and they'll be in the top six, which makes them the top six above that in terms of the all-time cap list, but they've never played for a senior Scottish club.
Billy Bremner in it?
He is.
There you go.
Bonus points for how many caps? No chance you're getting that, but I just want to give you a chance to show off. Take a guess.
The Grey Brothers?
Nope.
No?
Billy Bremner, 54 caps, never played for a senior Scottish club.
All right.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Give you plenty of time to get through them. You're only looking for
Peter Lorimer.
You're only looking for another five. Peter Lorimer is not one either. No. So only looking for another five, so I'm sure you'll be absolutely fine. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson, because Louis Malt has rejected a new deal with Motherwell. The striker, who does have a year left, he'd been offered a contract extension which would have made him the highest paid player at the club. Remember, there's been a bid from Aberdeen earlier in the window, reported interest from Rangers as well. And Stephen Robinson says he's disappointed, but he has to just focus and move on.
Louis indicated me at this moment in time he's not going to sign the contract. You know, we've made Louis a really, really good offer, the best we can possibly make him for this football club. You know, but he's indicated to me he's not going to take the contract this moment in time. That's not to say further down the line he won't look at it, you know, and that'll be obviously dependent on us on and off the pitch financially. You know, so Louis, you know, he's going to be at the football club for the next year minimum. And, you know, he's 100% committed to Motherwell, and I've no reason to believe otherwise. Obviously, Louis is a big part of what we're doing, and he still will be a big part of what we're doing for the next year. You know, I have a very good relationship with him, so we've spoke openly and honestly about it. I understand his you know, his thinking as well. But, you know, as a football club, we got caught short when Marvin Johnson left on the last day of the transfer window. You know, so ultimately, I've got to make decisions for the good of the football club, and I've got to try and, you know, go and strengthen the squad now. Louis indicated that he won't be signing at this moment in time, so I have to try and strengthen the squad, possibly in other areas of the pitch as well, and protect ourselves. But as I say, I'm confident Louis is 100% committed to Motherwell. You know, ultimately he's playing for, you know, his own career as well, so I've no doubts in that there at all.
So Louis Malt won't be extending his stay at Motherwell, Hugh, but at the moment there's no imminent reason to suggest he's leaving. So how do you assess that situation with him having a year left on his deal?
I would say there are 13 days left in this window, and until the evening of the 31st of August,
until it slams shut. Yes, that's what happens, yes. Doesn't it? It never closes gently, it slams shut.
I would say that I would hedge my bets on whether Louis Malt will see out the remainder of the season as a Motherwell player until the 31st of August.
Some managers would say, well, if you don't want to be here, you know, then why are you playing him?
Well, surely,
his heart's not in it.
I mean, surely there's a difference between not wanting to extend your contract and not wanting to be here. Those are different things.
If you don't want to extend your contract, you want to leave. Yeah, but he's only got a year left in his contract.
I think Louis Malt is in the same position as Jamie Walker. Go ahead and prove it.
Yeah.
And of course, Motherwell won't leave him out the side, because Motherwell don't have enough strength and depth to just leave him out of the side. They need him in the team for as long as they have him. But yeah, as I say, there are 13 days left, and I could not stand here and categorically state that Louis Malt will be a Motherwell player on the 1st of September.
Because people might look at that situation and say, well, why not just take whatever money you can get from now rather than losing them for free next year? But of course, you have to weigh up that deals nowadays, they're structured in such a way that Louis Malt's former club are probably due a sell-on fee. There'll be fees here, there, and in other places. So the prize money that could be up for stake if you take Louis Malt out of the Motherwell team, sometimes you're as well.
I'm
just
I'm saying
people,
if Motherwell finish a couple of places above it,
because
that might be an
because
extra
of what he
grand.
Brought.
Yeah, yeah.
But Motherwell are not in a financial position, where they can run that risk of him going for nothing.
But that's what I'm saying. Maybe the financial position actually doesn't really come into it if you accept that they would be in danger of finishing much further down the league if he's not in the team.
No, there's no guarantees that's going to happen either, though, Gordon. No. You can't say that's going to happen.
If they get a decent offer by the 31st of August, he'll be off.
Oh, yeah, decent offer. I'm talking about, though, that thought that you might as well take whatever you can get for him because he's going to leave for free next summer.
You're entitled to not insult your own intelligence, so you'll know what is a decent fee and what is a risible fee. So he's got 13 days to survive. Dennis Law.
Sorry?
Dennis Law.
Oh, for the teaser. Yes. I thought you were tipping him to replace Louis Malt or something.
I have finished with Louis Malt. I have moved on now to the question. So you're Philip Bremner, Dennis Law.
You are indeed correct.
And Bruce Rioch and Don Masson.
No, they are not on the list. So Dennis Law, 55 caps. So he qualifies, never played for a senior Scottish club.
55 caps, 30 goals.
Surely Rioch has got more than 40 caps.
Bit of transfer news at Motherwell, in fact, where we were talking about Louis Malt. Have signed 19-year-old goalkeeper Rohan Ferguson from Airdrie. So Gordon DL, we know he's a big Motherwell fan. He's obviously been on the phone there offering Rohan Ferguson up, Hugh. But he's going to go back to Airdrie this season on loan. And those deals, they tend to be ones that please all parties, don't they? Because Motherwell have got a guy that they want for the future, but Airdrie can still call on him at the moment. And if there was a small fee involved, then that'll help Airdrie at the moment as well.
Correct. And at the moment, Airdrie are going through a difficult period off the park. So any money, gratefully accepted. But
they had to lose their top striker there last week, did they not?
Yeah, Andy Ryan's gone to them. Fairland scored two in his debut as well. Yeah.
Well, it really is a case of needs must at Airdrie. So that they're doing what they have to do to make sure there's still a club there. So they tell me that Rohan Ferguson is a very good goalkeeper. So Motherwell have done well.
Well, often when you're in that market, you can pick up guys who, despite their young years, have played a lot of football. I think I read Rohan Ferguson, he's only 19, but he's played about 60 games. So for a goalkeeper to have racked up that number of appearances at that age,
and Motherwell get themselves a good talent for 2018. And if the talent matures, Motherwell will one day get an even bigger fee for him.
We'll be thinking about that game tomorrow, Ross Count. Now, this doesn't really work in radio, but just let me tell you that Derek Johnson, one of the lenses has fallen out of his glasses.
Oh, it's and broken.
His eyesight is bad enough at the best of times. The way that he squints to look at this television screen behind me, Hugh Keevans.
Reading out the scores,
is going to be interesting tomorrow.
The only pair I've got as well. I'll get them fixed.
He's going to come in here with a sellotape tomorrow, isn't
he? No, it'll be glue.
He'll look like Les Dawson.
How are you going to get your glasses fixed at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, and we've got an early start
I'll
tomorrow?
I'll go home tonight and fix them, don't worry.
Are you going to manage?
Yes.
I'm a bit worried
about
it.
I've clicked them back in just now. I don't know how long that's going to last.
Unbelievable. We were hearing from Stephen Robinson, Hugh. That's an interesting game, Motherwell against Ross County tomorrow, because Motherwell, without Trevor Carson in goal, his suspension stands, remember, without captain Carl McHugh, still got injuries to the likes of Elliot Freer. And Ross County, you know they're going to be desperate for revenge after that League Cup game just last week. It went to extra time. Yeah. They get put out in front of their own fans.
It's not that, Hugh. Ross County went to Dens Park and beat them the first day of the season, so they're a decent side.
Well, they're dogged. They lost Liam Boyce. And, you know, the top goal scorer in the Premiership last season, remarkably, when he's up against Moussa Dembele and Lee Griffiths,
Goes to Burton. Yeah. The top scorer in the league in Scotland gets a massive move down south to Burton.
So Ross County, well done to them for compensating for the loss of Liam Boyce. And I'm not sure that Motherwell will get all 3 points there, young man.
I like this one because I did say that the teaser was from Gerard Milligan. But you know, people have got their own super scoreboard names, don't they? So Jerry from Erskine has just phoned in to say, by the way, Gerard Milligan, that's me. So he wants everyone to know that he's Gerard from Erskine, he's not Gerard Milligan. So there we have it. We'll get back to those answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and have a bookie in your back pocket. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnston have been furiously thinking about the answer to this full-time teaser. Remember, we're looking for the 6 highest capped Scottish internationals. So they've all got 40 caps or more, but they've never played for a senior Scottish club. Did you manage to come up with anything during the ad break?
Yeah, lots of wrong answers.
How do you know? Let's be hearing them. I'll tell you if they're wrong.
Bill Brown?
Nope. You've already got Dennis Law and Billy Bremner, remember. They're on 55 and 54 caps respectively. Got a few people playing along at home on Twitter. Thomas is one, he's done quite well.
Okay. Asa Hartford.
Oh, Belter.
He's done well tonight. Belter. Asa Hartford is indeed one right in the middle of list. He's got 50 caps, Hugh Keevans, but he's never played for a senior Scottish club. So you're 3 down, 3 to go. I can see who else is playing. Peter Maley's playing along as well. Peter, yeah, you've certainly got a couple right. Let's see if Hugh and DJ can come up with any more as the show goes on. Still plenty of time for you. I'm looking at the clock. Over 10 minutes to go, so plenty of time for you.
John Wark?
No.
Oh, that was a good one. He never played in Scotland, did he, Warky?
No.
No, I don't think he did.
Only at school.
Right, let's move on and take a further look at tomorrow's football, because we've got an absolutely cracking card. I always like it when there's so many teams playing on the Saturday. Hugh, gives us a lot to get our teeth into. Let's hear from Lee McCulloch, because of course he's the man who's going to be tasked with stopping Celtic's unbeaten domestic run. He's already had experience of them this side. He went to Celtic Park. It was a much changed team and he still couldn't come up with anything. What does he make of tomorrow's task?
They're swatting every day at the side, you know. Good teams, bad teams and different teams. They did a Champions League qualifier the other night against a really good team that with some great individual players, and they've hit them for 5. So it just shows you where Celtic are as a team, as a club and as a management staff. They really are flying high. So you can argue that the young ones that come in are more hungry, but I don't see it as a weakness. This, again, speaking about it in there, I think Chris Adger played that night. When he was here, he was our best player. Ralston at right back came in. I see him being Scotland's next right back for years. That's how good a player he is. So their strength and depth is pretty phenomenal for a squad. So yes, it'll make it difficult for us, but we just need to get up and going there.
Fantastic compliment for Anthony Ralston there from Lee McCulloch, to say that Anthony Ralston is Scotland's next right back and for years to come. I'm quite sure that Anthony Ralston will play tomorrow, and Calvin Miller and Ayer, and that there'll be no Sinclairs, no Nshams, no Johnny Hayes is out because of illness apparently. It'll be a team.
Strong game, isn't it? He's got
to celebrate the signing of the extension to the contract. As I say, Gordon, every time Celtic go onto the park in a domestic fixture, they go on as the treble winners and invincibles, and that is a record which is cherished by the supporters, by Brendan Rodgers, by the players, and they don't want to give that up easily. So Brendan Rodgers will pick a side tomorrow which is capable of beating Kilmarnock, but it will not require a lot of the players who played against Astana in midweek.
Because if you were looking at this from the outside, Hugh, you would be able to say, well, you know, Celtic might have one eye on Astana and they might make changes which make them weaker. But for that to happen, Celtic are then going to have to do something that they simply haven't done under Brendan Rodgers. None of that has ever mattered since he took over at the club.
Brendan Rodgers wants to win every game and every competition, domestic or European. And he will pick a side tomorrow that he believes can beat Kilmarnock. And if you've got the Kilmarnock manager saying that a teenager in Anthony Ralston is a future Scotland left back of many years standing, then that speaks volumes for the strength and depth that Brendan Rodgers has at his disposal. And can I say to you, George Burley?
You can say George Burley all you like, but he's not on my list.
David Harvey?
Nope.
Boy Sullivan, the goalkeeper.
Neil Sullivan.
Oh, that must be you. That's wrong. Whoever sent that in.
I've got faith in you. I think you're going to come up with these ones.
You've clearly never met us before.
Well, I suppose that's why I thought it was six and Ace of Hartford. That's your era. I mean, surely.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to get them anyway.
I did get them.
Yeah, you did. We got Kilmarnock and Celtic out the way earlier on. We've been speaking about Rangers and Hearts at length as well. We even spoke about Motherwell, Ross County. Let's take a look at some of the other fixtures tomorrow. Some intrigue in them all, as always. Aberdeen against Dundee. It's safe to say in the last couple of seasons that Aberdeen have separated themselves from this notion that everyone can beat everyone. You know, on paper, that looks a real tricky fixture for Dundee.
It does. And Dundee haven't started the season particularly well in terms of league football. They've got Celtic to come in the Betfred Cup, and that's a big night in prospect at Dens Park. But they could use a league result, and unfortunately for Neil McCann, I don't think they'll get it at Pittodrie.
And the problem is Darren O'Dea's out now for several weeks with an injury, and he's the mainstay of that defence, who have been leaking goals anyway. You know, so, and you know, when you look at Aberdeen, they went to Ross County.
I suppose that's why they've signed Josh Meekings, extra cover
in
that area.
They've had to do that. You know, and Ross County, and who are they playing, did you say?
In Motherwell, they're going to Fir Park.
They're going to Fir Park. Well, you just don't know what you're going to get. There's so many people that bet on football teams these days, and there's been so much. I think in the last three or four seasons, the amount of coupon busters every week is incredible. Teams that you're expecting to win.
Either.
You know, teams that are expected to win are not winning. Everybody's cooping that puts on four or five teams, they've lost it right away. And that's the way our league is at times as well. You've got clubs that can go out and win two or three games on the trot, and other clubs that can go out and play four or five games and not win a game.
Joe Jordan.
Play for Morton.
Oh, he played for Morton, that's right. Started at Morton.
See, if I give you long enough, you'll talk yourself out of it.
Jim Holt.
Gordon McQueen.
Nope.
Jim
no
Holm.
Gordon McQueen.
No.
Go and play for St Mirren.
Still got three left to get.
He managed St Mirren.
No, he played for St Mirren.
We've
a
got
youngster.
Hibs against Hamilton Accies. Who obviously Hibs have been on our thoughts a lot in the last week, given what happened at Ibrox.
We took
a bit of a trip down memory lane, didn't we? When with Hamilton and what happened in the playoffs, Hibs are certainly a different animal these days.
Hamilton have won in their last two visits to Easter Road, but they've never won three times in a row against Hibs at Easter Road. So there's the incentive for them.
Pulling the stats out the bag tonight,
yeah,
isn't it?
Listen.
I think the Hibs fan that came on earlier, he was spot on.
You know, good factor.
They don't seem to, you know, to start games well. Remember, they were goaled out on Partick Thistle in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
First game of the season, then went on to win 3-1. They did the same at Ibrox, but they have got a quality side. And that's, for me, if you're talking about bankers for wins tomorrow, that is one for me.
The great thing, Derek, you know, to have 18,000 people at your home games.
Yeah.
And they are coming on here tonight to say to us, feel good factor, never been a better time to be a Hibs fan, etc, etc. All of that builds momentum and confidence, and I'm quite sure that the Hibs players can't wait to get started on Hamilton tomorrow and remain undefeated and, who knows, vie for top place in the table, albeit after three games.
The Ackies will have some confidence of their own, won't they, though, Derek?
Because they
have to sit yet again and listen to everyone tipping them to go down. And
in
what was a big game last week, in the respect that it was against one of their closest rivals, it ends up a really convincing win
for them. Yeah, they've done it. But Dundee are not the besties, even though they created a few chances for themselves, having just watched the highlights on the television. But they're not taking them, and that's their problem just now. And they're conceding far, far too many. But I just think Hibs have got too much for Hamilton tomorrow.
And I think one of the surprise results of the season, Hugh, came in the League Cup when Partick Thistle went to St Johnstone, came away with a 3-0 win. Well, they've got the chance to try and repeat that tomorrow. But on the flip side, Tommy Wright will be so determined to avoid that.
Well, again, the Michael O'Halloran factor. He's gone back to a place where, by his own admission, he feels loved. And that's great for a player. Players are all about confidence and self-esteem. And he's gone back up there. And from the first day, he felt right at home, and his performances have been outstanding. So,
you know why, Hugh? Because the play system that suits him, that's why. I mean, it was great to hear young Miller on
Chris
the programme last
Wednesday.
Week saying what I've been saying for 2 years.
Young Miller, he's about 42.
He's young as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, he's not quite that old.
You know, the way St Johnstone play, they don't have a lot of the ball, and on the break they're deadly, and that's where O'Halloran comes into it, and that's why he'll be a huge success.
I was only kidding, Chris.
And a big day in the Championship as well, Hugh, because you look at St Mirren after that Derby defeat last week. They have to go to Livingston tomorrow, Morton all the way up to Inverness, Jim Duffy signing a new contract this week as well, so plenty of intrigue in that division.
You know, David Hopkirk at Livingston is doing a terrific job. They're playing a brand of football that the supporters are relishing. They're getting results. There's a bit of momentum developing there as well. So I watch Livingston with interest. It's a smashing wee ground. They should have a much bigger support than they are currently getting. But I just look at the football and the results, and I think they're good for a win tomorrow.
I watched them play St Mirren when they won 1-0. They're a very, very solid side. And I seen St Mirren on Tuesday night against East Kilbride, who played well impressed with East Kilbride as well. But St Mirren created so many chances, and you know who their man is, and he's the next one to go. And it might happen at Christmas time, or maybe even in the next 13 days. Lewis Morgan was absolutely outstanding again, the youngster, young winger. Got the winner, but what a game he had.
So, big day of football tomorrow, but just before we finish up tonight, let's get to the important business of this full-time teaser. So, Jerry from Erskine sent it in, and we're looking for the six highest-capped Scottish internationals. So, they've all got 40 or more caps, but they've never played for a senior Scottish club. We've got we've got Dennis Law, Billy Bremner, and Asa Hartford so far, and we're looking for another three.
I'm racking my brains. Can't think. We need a Scooby.
Any old codgers in there?
No. You have got all your fellow old codgers out the way.
Right.
So think more modern day.
Modern day.
One of them's a terrific singer, I'll tell you that.
Terrific singer.
Oh, must be his name.
Yeah. That's all I'm gonna say. It's quite a big clue. Come on, guys.
I need an initial.
Oh, he's in the current squad. I can't give you any more than that. Come on. Two of them are in the current group, you would say. Dun, dun, dun. We're counting down.
No.
Not having it at all?
No. Need initials.
Right, let's just say one of them has captained the side very, very recently. Come on. Who is the Scotland captain? If we're not talking about Scott Brown, who would you consider the Scotland
Fletcher.
Captain? Darren Fletcher.
Darren Fletcher, of course.
Jeez, top of the list. 78 caps, but has never played for a senior Scottish club. Like the other one, the terrific singer, is also still playing. Plays in the English Premier League. Plays in the English Premier League. Come on. Midfielder. West Brom.
And it is.
Oh, come on. You two are having an absolute mare. James Morrison.
Oh, James, he's got 40 caps.
He's not got 40 caps.
James Morrison's got 44 caps.
Oh, that's outrageous.
And the last one, he's currently the Scunthorpe manager, played with Preston and Burnley, bit of a penalty specialist.
Quick.
Graham Alexander.
Yeah, there we are, Graham Alexander.
Well done,
so
you.
That
well
concludes
done again. Well
Friday
done,
night's
you.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're back tomorrow from noon. Me, oh. Hugh Keevans, Derek Johnson, Murdo McLeod join us. But it's good night from us.
Night.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football to have a cracking season. Please gamble responsibly.